The gospel is also from Luke 1, verses 39 through 45. In those days, Mary set out and went with haste to a Judean town in the hill country, where she entered the house of Zechariah and greeted Elizabeth. When Elizabeth heard Mary's greeting, the child leaped in her womb. And Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit and exclaimed with a loud cry, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb. And why has this happened to me, that the mother of my Lord comes to me? For as soon as I heard the sound of your greeting, the child in my womb leaped for joy. And blessed is she who believed that there would be a fulfillment of what was spoken to her by the Lord." The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
One of the challenges of our time is identity. Not just the normal things, finding out who we are and what our purpose and goal in life is, but we're being challenged now by more and more people want to define their own identity rather than just take on the identities that we give them. What am I talking about? A couple months ago, there was a minor scandal in the news. A young woman, when you looked at her, she looked like she had a very dark tan. Her hair was short, it was black and tightly curled. And she was leading, she's the director of a black civil rights organization and had been for several years and was apparently doing excellent work for them. But the scandal was her parents came out and said, "We're her parents," and they were both white. And the woman said, "But I identify as black." And the black community didn't know what to do with her. She had to quit her job. The white community didn't know what to do with her. Can people just identify themselves? It boggles our mind. We've had an even more famous case where we've had to wrap our brains around changing identity with a former Olympic gold medal athlete by the name of Bruce Jenner, who all of a sudden decides to identify as Caitlyn. When we identify people, on the one hand, it's nice to have those shorthands, to know who's my family, who's my friend, who's my team, who's my country, and who's not. But that's also what gets us in trouble, because however we define ourselves and others, it's always too narrow and it gets us in trouble. Remember the last time I preached, I said I wanted to leave you with this: you are not who you think you are. That's too narrow a definition. You're not who others think you are. That's always too narrow. Who you really are is who God knows you to be and who God says you are. Well, if we get in trouble with identifying one another too narrowly, do we ever do that with God? Oh, all the time, don't we? We want to put God in a little box and have him nice and neat and understandable. And we want to project all sorts of our issues upon God. We project all our daddy issues on God. We project all our self-righteousness and our power issues upon God. We want God always to be on our side, giving his blessing to whatever we think we want to do. And by doing that, we're always limiting God. What would happen if we let God self-identify and tell us who he really is? That's what this story was about today. And when God self-identifies, it changed the identity of Mary, and it has implications for the identity of all of us. So in this lesson, how does God identify himself? He's revealed himself to Mary, and she sings this wonderful song called The Magnificent. And she says several important things about who God is. She starts out with real familiar territory to us. She says, "God is the mighty one who has done great things for me. He has shown strength with his arm. He has scattered the proud in the thoughts of their hearts, and he has brought down the powerful from their thrones." The notion that God is strong and powerful, we have no problem with that. That's what we assume God to be. But Mary doesn't leave us with that, because we always misinterpret God's power. When God tells us what his power is, he takes this step. Because Mary says, not only is he powerful, but his mercy is for those who fear him. He has helped his servant Israel in remembrance of his mercy. For God Strength is only understood when it is coupled with mercy. Strength is only fully exhibited by showing mercy. The rulers of this world rarely are able to do that. They think that the only way their strength can be exhibited is through raw force and through vengeance and through warfare and destruction. But the person who knows real strength can exercise mercy. He has more options. Our God has the ability to show mercy. But more than that, not only is he strong by showing mercy, but Mary takes it a step further. She says, he has looked with favor on the lowliness of his servant. He has lifted up the lowly. When God identifies himself, he identifies with the lowly, the powerless, the ones who don't seem to have any advocate. And not only does he identify with them, but he even identifies as them. God came to this earth. He gave his son to us as what? A human infant, a human baby. What is more vulnerable than that? And yet this is the way God comes into our world. But then think about it. What better calls forth our love, calls forth our affection, calls forth a desire in us to embrace that than a little baby? There is the real power in the world. Are we ready to let God identify himself as that? Well, God came to Mary and posed this problem to her, and it was a challenge. Mary was a young woman, probably in the peasant class in first century Judea, and for a woman of her time, her life was made for her. She was of childbearing age, and so her parents had looked around the community, and they'd found a suitable young man who had a good job. He was a carpenter, a woodworker, someone who could provide for his family. And so they had gone to his parents, and they'd negotiated a wedding contract. They were engaged. They were betrothed. And for Mary, that was wonderful. Her life was now secure. She would be a wife. She would be a mother. And she would have someone to take care of her. Like I said, in her day, that was it. Her identity was set. But then God comes along, as God so often does, and says, well, how would you like a different identity? A better identity? A deeper identity than that? How would you like to be the mother of my son? How would you like to bear me into this world? Well, Mary, all her assumptions about her identity were kind of shaken. She starts out with the most basic one. She said, well, how could that even happen? Because I'm a virgin. That's my identity right now. I'm not married. And God says, we won't worry about the mechanics. The Holy Spirit will be involved, and the Holy Spirit is expert at bringing forth new life in the strangest places and under the most unlikely circumstances. That's not a problem. But then Mary had to think about this deeper identity. If she were going to be pregnant outside of wedlock, all her hopes and dreams for what her life was going to be were potentially shattered. You tell a fiancé that you're pregnant and it's not by him, and he could have just said, that's it, I'm washing my hands of you. Her parents could have kicked her out. The best she could have hoped for was that her parents would have pity on her and agree to help her raise that child. So everything was riding on the line, but there was something about God's invitation to this deeper identity to bring his son into the world that spoke to her heart, that spoke to her spirit, and she was able to say yes. Yes to God. And by doing that, she agreed to become what the Greeks used to say of her. She was the Theotokos, the God-bearer, the one who brought God into the world. What a rich and full identity. Now, two things I want to point out about this. This did turn her world upside down, and we think often when God comes to us, that's what's going to happen. And on the one hand, it is. But remember, Jesus said, seek first the kingdom of God, and everything else will fall into place. Notice what happened here. When she said yes to God, when she claimed her deeper and truer identity, God took care of everything else. He sent the messenger to Joseph to say, this is my child. take this woman and this child to be your own. And she was able to live her life out as wife, as mother. How interesting that God would use what looked like just their typical first century Jewish couple, and through them, he was able to bring his presence into this world. Notice when he identifies with the lowly, as the lowly, he didn't transform Mary into this powerful queen, this ruler of the known world, so that his son could be famous. No. Through an ordinary couple and their child, they brought Christ into the world. When we claim our identity as the people that God wants us to be in our lives right here and now, there's incredible power to transform this world. You know that I had to clean out my parents' house this past year and put it up for sale. And while going through 60 years worth of memories and accumulations, boy, you find some real treasures in there. And one of those is we found a box of letters from my father going back to when he was in the service in World War II and to when he returned back to America and he was dating my mother. We found a letter that he had written while being stationed in Britain at the end of World War II. He wrote a letter on VE Day back to his mother here, telling about, you know, the rejoicing that was going on when the Allies won the victory in Europe. But also in there, we found a really interesting letter. It was written to my mother when they were dating, and it started out, he says, you really kind of thrown me for a loop. I don't know quite if I can answer the way you want to, but here goes. What it was obviously my mother had written him a letter saying, all right, we're getting serious now. I want to know what your intentions are. I want to know what your future lies. I want to know what kind of a man you're going to be. Smart of my mother, right? And here was my father, a young man in his early 20s, and to read this letter, he knew who he was. He had a good grasp already of his identity, and he laid it out in that letter. He said, well, I'm going to school to become an accountant. He says, I'm not going to be a great accountant, but he says, I'm going to be a good accountant. He says, I want to work for a job. I don't want to work on my own and be a CPA. I want to work for a company that so there'll be some oversight and support, but that I can have some of my own independent input. I want a wife. I want a family. I want a home. And to look back at it from 60 years later, to see that this guy, my dad, secure in who he was able to live that out. That was the life he lived out. And by living out that life, he blessed his wife. He blessed his family. He blessed the people he worked with. He blessed his neighbors. He blessed his church. By living out his ordinary life, what an impact he had on the world. What a thing to rejoice over. God reveals himself to us, a God who's strong, but that strength is shown through mercy. And as coming to us as one who is lowly. And when we get that, and when, like Mary, we are able to trust that and know that that is our identity, that we're being asked to be God-bearers too, then we actually have the ability to bring God's presence into this world right now. Amen.